Hi everyone, this is Morris Sweeney and welcome to episode 19 of the ABCs of Now. For whatever reason, I have no idea of what time it is that you are listening, I want to say to you, good morning. Maybe that means something to you. Well, I am ready with my latest episode in this ABCs of Now series. Those of you who have been following the series from the beginning know that this series is designed for the current time we're all living in, everywhere across the earth. This is a time of change, a time of shift, and it's really, although we've had so many other shifts and changes over the course of history, this particular one is unlike that of many others. It feels somewhat uncertain, unfamiliar, and one where we are heading into what definitely feels like unknown territory, where in some cases we may not even have an outward vision as to where we're all going. This is definitely planetary-wide, and it is involving a planetary outcome. Now, during this time period, our foundations, our building blocks, our institutions, our belief systems, they're all going through change. They're being challenged, both outwardly, as the things we're seeing and experiencing maybe in news reports, but those very same things are happening internally with each one of us, inwardly. Now, my purpose here in this whole series of going through the letters of the alphabet, but in our case, we're going from Z back to A, with each episode taking a letter of the alphabet and an assigned letter, or in this case, an expression, we are doing two things. Number one, and probably first and foremost, we are not here to contribute to your sense of unease and fear, but instead to point everyone toward an inner place of peace, a place that's always been there in us, but maybe we haven't paid attention, maybe we haven't dug down deeply enough. We're looking for an anchor for the soul, a place where we can anticipate good expectations, a new day, a new and brighter you from the inside out, even as we process through this great time period of change. And then beyond that, this ABCs of Now series in going backwards is done for a reason. It's to undo and unwind and even help us all review the notions and beliefs we've acquired and even behaviors that we've engaged in since having acquired these particular behaviors. And we're looking back on our life journey, even as we appear to be moving forward in it. So we're asking ourselves, what's real? What's not real? What's able to stand as truth or stability in the long run? And the trip may not always feel like it's a very easy one to travel on, but my sense is, even as I'm going through it with you, that the trip and the journey are all worth it. So here we are in episode 19. And I was so excited the other day when I was, first of all, going backwards in the alphabet thinking, gee, what comes before I? Because I think that was my last one. I was for identity and J was for just in time. And I'm going through and I hear the letter H. And I thought, well, what could H be? And I'm thinking of a single word. And what I get instead is an expression. H is for he will be. So as we go through in today's episode, we're going to be covering three things. We're going to be covering, what does he will be actually mean? What does it stand for? Secondly, I'm going to be covering a dream that I had following a very perplexing, let's say, challenge. And thirdly, I'm going to be going through a song by Michael Jackson, as well as its lyrics. And as you just sit in or wherever you are, relax into this episode, see how it speaks to you. Some of it will be spiritual. Some of it may challenge you. Some of it you may think, oh, I like it, or I don't like it, or what does this mean? But take from it whatever resonates within you, whatever is speaking to you, peace and life. Life. And Take it and run with it. So let's get started. H stands for He Will Be. The word He Will Be, when I got this 2 mornings ago, I heard the expression come through my mind and I thought, wait a minute, He Will Be. I remember the first time I ever heard it, and it was many years ago. A friend of my husband's was due into Tampa, and he wanted to get together for breakfast, so we met him. He must have been a businessman. He was also a basketball player, and in the process of breakfast, he says to us, do you know I'm learning Hebrew? And he said, I want to know about the Hebrew roots of words, and he said, I had been studying the Bible, and for whatever reason, this was one of these things I wanted to do in life. Now, I can't remember anything else this guy spoke about over breakfast, but he said to us one thing, and maybe it came because I asked him a question, what was the most interesting thing you've learned? But this is what he offered and what I specifically remember. He said, do you know the original name of God in Hebrew translates to English, not as a single word, but as three? And he said, the words are, He will be. So I listened to it, and he said to me, I want you to listen again. He will be. He will be. He will be. And I guess whatever it was, it just stuck with me. So when I got this, just this past week, as a topic or a word for the letter H in the series, I thought, well, let me look up what this guy told me to see if it's real. And what I found out is that God's name in Hebrew is comprised of four letters, four consonants. You'll know them as YHWH or YHVH. And it's known as the personal, interesting name of God, of the God of Israel. It actually appears over 6,800 times in the Bible. And generally, it's translated as Lord. Lord. But here's an interesting part that I didn't realize. It doesn't just mean He will be. It's translated thusly. It's this. He was, He is, He will be. As if there's an unseen force, something we cannot perceive with our natural five senses, but it's continuously working, continuously advancing, and continuously seeping through us and through our world until, if this is the truth, until it becomes our all in all. He will be our individual and collective all in all. So I want to ask you, is there an eternal force at work here in this process we're all going through of these changes and these shifts? Is it force that's causing things that are not eternal, not from that oneness, to be probed, challenged, and tried so that ultimately all that shows up at the very end of the journey is that oneness from the one who is the original. He is, He was, He is, and He shall be. Okay, so that's the first part of H stands for He will be. Here's the second part that came to me, and I thought, oh my goodness, I hope I could explain this rather quickly without going on a number of branches that this can go. A number of years ago, my husband, it went on for a course of time. He knew he had a certain decision to make, something he needed to very gentlemanly opt out of. And it took him about a year and a half to do. And I remember asking him, why is it taking so long? And he said, because Maura, I need to do this face to face, not through an email and not through a phone call. And he said, it needs to be done that way. Well, he opted out of this particular thing that he was involved in very gentlemanly fashion. He even helped these people find a replacement and make a smooth transition. And it was a big decision, but it was a personal decision. And it actually felt quite freeing, quite elating, I would say. It was this fresh air coming in, even though it was quite a large decision. And I would tell you, it was made by You ever get something in your life where there's something inside of you that's telling you you need to do something or you need to make a move, and sometimes you ignore it? Well, that's where this particular move in my husband had come from. So we're all happy. And as I remember this again, years ago, we are about to get on a big cruise ship. It was a family vacation. And as we're going across this, I would call it the gangplank, whatever it is that the passengers walk over from dry land to get onto the big ship, he says to me, "You know, Maura, after I did this, I heard a very clear message." And the message was only 5 words long, but it was a big message. Like, wow, something that you would have felt like you were going off a gangplank if you accepted it. And I remember that night, we're in bed, and I said to my husband, "Wow, that is really something in light of what we just did." And I said, "Well, Jimmy, why don't we just pray, and we'll see if God will speak to us in the middle of the night, or just give us some wisdom from places that have nothing to do with our natural understanding." Because it was a decision that not only had we accepted this, let's say, beckoning or challenge or invitation, it was one of those things that not only would appear preposterous, but it would be very, very life-altering. So we go to sleep, and here is why I want to bring us into back to this concept of He will be, and number two that I wanted to introduce in today's podcast about a dream that I had. So I go to bed, and in the middle of the night, I have a very surprising dream immediately after praying that particular prayer. Would you give us some insight or give us some confirmation or whatever it is? And in the dream, I saw masks and more masks and even more masks. M-A-S-K-S. You know, maybe immediately what you're coming up with would be Halloween masks, but they weren't that type of masks. The ones that stood out to me, even though there were so many of them, they reminded me of very highly designed, richly designed, and decorative, generally expensive masks, kind of like the ones, if you've ever looked them up, that they used to use many years ago and perhaps still employ today out of Venice, Italy. So they might have come maybe from the Middle Ages, but very exquisite. Although, let me tell you, in addition to those masks, I remember also seeing another mask showing up. Most of them were covering the eyes. I mean, your eyeballs could show through, but the masks themselves, there was one in particular that was so void, so vacuous, it would be like an off-white. And it was the type of mask, if you've ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, and you saw that particular ritual going on, you knew that whoever was engaging in that, there was a lack of life. There was a vacuousness and probably a whole lot more. But in this dream, multiple masks, and they were all in front of my eyes, or let's say this way, in front of my face, and they were literally dropping one at a time in front of me. And as each one dropped, I could see the mask. Well, that until there were no more masks. The last one had fallen. That was all I had in my dream. And I was like, whoa, I don't know what that was, but I would definitely classify that as an otherworldly dream. I used to call them, and I still do, the God dreams, because you know that they mean something, even if it means you have to contemplate them or wait for some kind of an interpretation. But I remember saying to my husband after all that, well, I guess let's just do it, because there's something to these words that you heard, Jimmy. All right, so there's the dream, and in the dream, all of these masks are falling. And when I was waiting for content for this episode on H is for He Will Be, that was a second element that fell in. The idea of masks being removed, and not just one, not just three, but a multitude of them. Okay, so I want to say this, as I'm preparing for this and I'm remembering this dream, a word came to mind, and here's the word. It was called vanity. So let me tell you what vanity stands for or is defined as. It's excessive pride in or admiration of one's own appearance or achievements. It's an inflated pride in oneself or one's appearance. It's not natural pride that says, oh, you know, I worked hard and I'm happy for myself. This is an inflated pride. It's also known as conceit. Other definitions for vanity include something that is vain, empty, or valueless. And this one I thought was equally interesting as a definition for vanity. And maybe some of you will know what I'm speaking of. It's the dressing table, known as the vanity. It's one where generally women would sit in front of a mirror, comb their hair, and apply makeup. Think of a covering for the face, face cover. Maybe to hide something, maybe to enhance something, or maybe to just cover over something. So think about that sitting down in front of a mirror. Now, I'm looking at my notes to say, where do I go next? Okay. Over this past weekend, even as I had yet to come up with all the content for this podcast, I was with a girlfriend and she said to me, she must have been doing something, and she said, oh, Maura, she said, you know, sometimes I'm moved by songs. And she said, I heard this one song, and she explained why she heard it or why she felt she needed to hear it. But she said, Maura, that song you need to listen to. Do you know the lyrics of it? I said, well, I remember the song. She said to me, you need to listen to the lyrics or look the lyrics up. Okay, well, that was over the weekend, and I forgot to look the lyrics up. And it was yesterday morning, and as I'm sitting down and I'm preparing my notes for this most recent episode, all of a sudden it comes back to me, look up the lyrics to this song. Well, the song was Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror. And I'm thinking, wow, mirror, vanity mirror. What is that? Let me look it up. And as much as I remembered Michael Jackson, because he was a contemporary of mine, and I remember liking his music, I never thought to look up the lyrics, never knew what they were. And I'm going to read them aloud to you now. I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, the wind is blowing my mind. I see kids in the streets with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A sum of disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, because they got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. I've been a victim of a selfish kind of love. It's time that I realize that there are some with no home, not a nickel to loan. Could it be really me, pretending that they're not alone? A willow deeply scarred, somebody's broken heart, and a washed out dream. They follow the pattern of the wind, you see, because they got no place to be. That's why I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. And I'll say it again because he does. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make that change. Wow, and I'm thinking, that's pretty interesting. How many things have we not looked at of ourselves? How many ways have we covered up not only our identity, but our relationships to other people? How many ways have we disassociated from who and what we really are? I was moved at the end of this. I got these two things that came to mind, and I'm going to share them with you. about masks, about He Will Be, about vanity, about this song, and about a process we're all going through, all of us, individually and collectively, here in the world. And these are two scriptures, I'm going to say, that I believe need to be topping off today's episode. Here's the first one, and it says this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light, L-I-G-H-T, of man. And that was found in the book of John, 1 John, and it was verses 1 through 4. Now I want to give you something else that came to my remembrance. It's not from the Bible, but it is from the book of Thomas. It's otherwise known as the 114 sayings of Jesus. The disciples said to Jesus, "Tell us how our end will be, our end, E-N-D. Think of this journey." And Jesus said, "Have you already discovered the beginning that you're asking about the end? For where the beginning is, there the end will be too." And that can be found in the 18th saying and verses 1 through 3. If you're curious and you want to look it up, you can also check out what Jesus had to say in verse 4 of that book on your own. Now, as I got to the book of John that I was reading to, I thought, oh my gosh, I forgot a very important thing I wanted to say about the dream I had with the masks. And I thought, isn't this great? Because it works perfectly. After I had that dream of all the masks falling off, falling off, falling off, and after having the dream, I said to my husband, "All right, let's just go for it," but not even understanding what it meant. I happened to be away, and I was visiting with a girlfriend, and I told her about this dream because it was so unusual. And I said to her, "What do you think happens, or what do you get, like, after all of these masks in your life fall off, fall off, fall off, and there's none left?" And I said, "I'm still trying to figure, what do you get at the end of it?" And she stopped and paused and dropped her mouth and said to me something very surprising. Now, this is probably close to 20 years ago, and she said, "Well, when it's all over, I think you get God. He will be." I hope that you've enjoyed this. I hope it'll give you something to think about. More than that, I hope today's episode will give you a sense of inner peace and hope, and literally that it might ignite something within you to look forward to the end of this process of change and the arrival and the beginning of another new day, when truly not only He will be, but we will all be together. And until next time, this has been Maura with Maura for You. Bye-bye.